bless us at this hour. To hear the word of the Lord spoken and written, that we might be changed from time to time, until that time we meet you face to face, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, Christ is risen.
The Lord is risen indeed. Hallelujah.
He is indeed. I suspect when we look back over the history of our life, or the history of our family, or the history of our nation, we'll discover that there were certain very important events that took place in our past. And those events changed and impacted our lives for example, in national life, signing of the Declaration of Independence, or the outbreak of the Civil War, or the legalization of abortion. Those kind of landmark events touch and change a nation's life forever, either for better or for worse. And we have the same thing in our families and in our own personal lives. For example, births and graduations and marriages tend to impact our lives for the better, whereas deaths, divorces, and disasters impact our family and personal lives for the worse. But the point is, things happen, and even if they don't seem very important at the time, boy, they really are important. And if we look past our own personal lives and past our family lives and even our national life, there are even from time to time events on a global scale that change the life of the world forever. At the time, again, people might not even notice. Sooner or later, one single event changed things forever. For example, early years of the 20th century, a man was assassinated. And that one assassination of that single man set off a chain of events that shook the entire world and ended up bringing us into what we call World War I. Likewise, in the early years of the first assassinated, that event shook the entire world and changed it forever. The first man I spoke about was a prince. The second man I speak about was a king, and his name was Jesus. My message to sisters is entitled, The 3 Days That Changed the World. My reason is, have 3 days changed your life? Let's look at day number one, Good Friday. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. When Christ came as high priest of good things that are already here, he went through the greater and more perfect tabernacle that is not man-made, that is to say, not part of this creation. He did not enter by the means of the blood of goats or of calves, but he entered the most holy place once and for all by his own blood, having obtained eternal redemption. Now, on that first Good Friday, when Jesus died on the cross, the Bible tells us that many extraordinary things took place, both in the natural and in the spiritual. For example, in the natural, the sky grew dark even at the mid of day. A violent earthquake shook Jerusalem, and the body of holy people were raised out of the grave back to life. All those earth-shaking events were God's way of giving testimony that there was a significant event taking place on Calvary, even if people didn't know it. Something was happening in the world. Amen? Amen? But let me tell you, in the spirit realm, something even more important was happening. On that day that Jesus died, the blood he shed on Calvary was taken in God made provision for the sins of the whole world. Amen? In other words, the blood of Jesus is adequate provision for the entire sin of all men for all time. You agree with that?
Amen.
That's why good changed the world forever.
Amen.
And if we'll accept it, it under the covering will never be the same. No longer will we suffer the bondage of our sins, because he will forgive us of iniquity. No longer will we bear the burden of guilt. Whom the Son sets free is free indeed. No longer will we face condemnation of our enemy, because there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus. Yea, our enemy has been defeated. So the day Jesus died on the cross changed the world. Amen. Day number two was Holy Saturday, the day Jesus rested in the tomb. Well, at least his body rested, but his spirit wasn't resting at all. 1 Peter verse 18 gives us a clue what Jesus Saturday. It says he was put to death in the body, but made alive by the Spirit, through whom he also who disobeyed long ago when God waited patiently in the days of Noah while the ark was being built. We all know that's a rather cryptic passage. About that passage is crystal clear. After he died on the cross, Jesus went someplace to someone to preach something. Okay? And if his word on the cross the day before give us any indication whatsoever about where he went, we know exactly where it was.
Amen.
For he said to the thief on the cross, "Today you will be with me, come on in paradise." I think that's where he went. I believe he went to that place, the place that had originally been on the earth, a place that God made man to live in, the Garden of Eden. And in that place, paradise, man lived with God in perfect harmony and perfect fellowship. And we know that in that place, there was a tree, the tree of life. From that tree of life, did man receive life and could have lived for God and with God forever. However, there was a day when something happened that changed the world forever. Adam sinned. And that change was not for the better. Having gotten evicted from that garden, he no longer had a relationship like that with God. Nor did he have access to the tree of life, so now he succumbed to death, disease, and destruction. And in order that no man might find it again until Jesus, paradise was taken off the face of the earth. So here's the deal. If you're looking for paradise, you won't find it. It's not here anymore. Paradise is where Jesus is. And you thought South Florida was paradise. Well, it might be a nice place to live, but it's still not paradise. We still have hurricanes and traffic and sometimes not so very nice people. We're not speaking of people who aren't here today. But you know whom of I speak and whereof I speak. So the thing is, if you're going to be moving a lot, because it's not here. The place for you to be is where God wants you to be. God will bless you. But the point is, we want the Lord to say to us, as he said to the thief, "Today you will be with me in as even Saturday, Jesus changed the world forever. And we can have a relationship with him right now. We can eat of life and dwell with him in paradise forever. Day number three, today, Easter Sunday, the day Jesus rose from the dead. Listen again to Luke's account in 24, verse 1. It says, on the first day of the week, that's today, very early in the morning, well before you and I got up, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down their faces to the ground. But the men said to him, why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here. He has risen. Isn't that a great question? Why do you seek the living among the dead? In other words, you're looking for Jesus in the wrong place. He's not risen. And let me tell you, people today still seeking something in the wrong place. The angel said to them, you're looking for life in the place of death. And I'm here to tell you, friends, there are a lot of people 2,000 years later who are doing exactly the same thing. They're looking in all the wrong places and coming up empty-handed and empty-hearted. They're looking for life, but they're finding death. They're looking for joy, but they're finding despair. They're looking for peace, but they're finding depression. Is just as the living are not among life, among the things of a dying. Doesn't matter what we call it. We can call it joy, peace, contentment, happiness, purpose, satisfaction, meaning. It's something everybody desperately desires, but true peace, true joy, true happiness, very few people ever find it. Jesus had his own name for it. He called it abundant life. And he said, I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. In other words, the Lord's desire for us isn't just to survive. Anybody want? No. I don't know why anybody puts themselves through that. But you know, some people are like that, just trying to survive. God's plan is something greater. A quality of life that's more than just money, possessions, pleasures, powers, and prestige. These are things in the world, and we thank God for them, but there's no substitute for abundant life. And there's certainly no substitute for eternal life. So here's the deal. A lot of people are out there simply accumulating more of what they already have and still coming up empty-handed and empty-hearted. Do you know why? Because more means better. Hello? More means more. More of what we already have. Now we have more of it. He who dies with the most toys wins. Well, that might make a great bumper sticker, but it's not very good. And here's why. God had a name for the man who invests his earthly life always and only accumulating temporal things. Here's the name. Luke chapter 12 and verse 20, so you don't think I'm making it up. You fool! I'm not speaking about you. You fool, God said to him, this very night your soul is required of you. And the things you have prepared for yourself, whose will they be? What a good question. So let's turn it on ourselves. If tonight our souls will require us, let's not worry about who will get all our stuff. We probably don't have stuff anyway. Let them fight over it. The real question is, where will your soul be? The answer to that question really begs another question, doesn't it? Not who are you, but to whom do you belong? For Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father save by me. Today is Easter Sunday. These 3 days change the world. Why don't you let him change your world and change your life? Today's a day of miracles, a day of new beginnings. In fact, it's the day of transformation and a new creation. As on the first day of creation, God speaks a word. And when God speaks, something always happens. And God made a new thing when he rose Jesus from the dead. And when we are raised, we too are a new creation. The old has passed away, and the new has come. So here's the good news, friend. No matter what you've done in your past, God is greater than you. It doesn't matter what your circumstances are in the present, God is greater than your circumstances. And it most certainly doesn't matter what your future is going to be, God is greater than your future. What matters is, have you accepted Christ, the risen Lord, as your Savior? You see, the tomb today is empty that we might get free. Jesus died on Good Friday that we might live. And Jesus lives today that we might never die. So as you gather in this holy place today, ponder this. Answer B. Those 3 days really did change the world forever. We'll never be the same. But the question is, have they changed your life forever? Alleluia, Christ is risen. The Lord is risen indeed. Alleluia.